What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't forget, coming up later, John Fanta will join us to talk college hoops. That's coming up at 9 o'clock. But right now, on the Rude guest hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We're joined by longtime friend of the show, Joel Corey, former sports agent, writer for CBS and CBSSports.com. Joel, good to talk to you, man. It's been a while.
It has. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, man. Thanks for joining us. We do appreciate it. So does it drive you crazy as a former agent and a guy who does this for a living when you hear sports, you know, talk guys like us from around the country say, yeah, just go out and trade for Myles Garrett. He's out on the market. It's easy. Just fit him in. But you know better than anybody that it's much more complicated than just trying to trade for him. There are so many logistics hurdles to jump. You have to work out an extension for him. You have to find the proper compensation that goes back to the team trading for him. Talk about all the different
specifically
you have to jump through to get Myles Garrett on your team.
Yeah, specifically relating to Myles.
Yeah, this one's more complicated than a lot of people think. First of all, you got a team that basically said, we're not interested in trading him. We wouldn't take two first-round picks for him. So you have to get the Browns to come off their position, the first thing. Then they structured his contract in a way that they would never contemplate trading him, or they wouldn't have put all these option bonuses where the money is prorated and then restructure his contract a couple of times so that his cap number goes from a little over 19 million, basically 19.8, to there would be 36 million in dead money, which is a cap charge for nobody, somebody's not on the roster, if they traded him in a timely fashion. And they're not in the best cap position to absorb something like that because they've got a ton of cap commitments. They've got almost 342 2025 cap commitments. That's a league high. But they are able to carry over basically $42 million of unused cap space to help mitigate that. But still, they're going to have to restructure contracts, cut people just to become cap compliant, and then taking on another $16 million of cap space to trade Myles Garrett doesn't seem all that feasible. Then it gets a little bit worse because with all these option bonuses, they've got one for $5 million where that money becomes prorated if he's still on the roster as of the third day of the league year, March 14th. So then the dead money is going to increase from $36 million to $41 million. That's just if you're trying to get rid of him quickly. So, one, they have to be willing to trade him, which they're not. And then the contract and their cap situation doesn't really make it feasible, at least right now.
So, I mean, how likely is it that they will be able to move him? How likely is it they'll be able to do all that?
Well, the best thing for them cap-wise would be to trade him after June 1st. And then you can split the dead money over 2 years because the acceleration of money from 2025 and beyond doesn't happen. It becomes a 2026 cap charge. But you don't get 2025 draft capital if you wait until after June 1st to trade him. So that becomes another problem. Maybe you think the 2026 draft is better than the 2025 draft. So that makes sense. Then the market of teams Garrett wants to go to is somewhat limited. He wants out of Cleveland because he wants to play for a Super Bowl contender. Andrew Berry, the GM, made a comment at their season in press conference. He envisioned Garrett going from Cleveland to Canton, Ohio, where the Pro Football Hall of Fame is located. And Garrett, in his statement announcing, publicly announcing one of the trades, said his intention wasn't to go from Cleveland to Canton, but he wanted to play for Super Bowls. So the pool of teams that he wants to go to, and you'll necessarily have to trade somewhere where they want to go, but let's say it's like, hey, you can go to the Bears. And he's like, yeah, that's basically where I am now. So he wants the team which, like Washington, the Lions, the Chargers, who look like they are Super Bowl contenders, are on the upswing. So that's another hurdle in this whole thing.
Hey, Joel, just to take things to a personal note for a second, you used to be Patrick Surtain's agent, right?
Senior.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
His dad.
That makes sense, but dad. Pretty amazing his son
dad,
wins.
He was a very good player in his own right. He was a 3-4-time Pro Bowler, but is not his son.
He didn't inherit his son.
No, he taught his son well. Well, I've been out of the business way before his son. I remember Pat the second when he was a little kid, but I'm long gone.
Gotcha.
Hey, how realistic would it be for the Commanders who have, from what I'm looking at, about $75 million in cap space, if they wanted to trade for Myles Garrett? Is that realistic, or are Commanders fans just getting ahead of themselves? Because let's be honest, their first-round pick is 29 this year. With Jaden Daniels in the fold, they'll probably be picking late again next year. So I would guess the Browns would look at the Commanders and say, well, I mean, you're not going to give us the compensation that we would want, even if we wanted the deal Myles Garrett. How realistic is it that Garrett shows up here in Washington?
It's a place where he should want to go, but when Andrew Berry says, I don't want two first-round picks, and not all first-round picks are created equally, you guys have late first-round picks, so he was going to want more than two first-round picks. It's two first-round picks, a player, some other picks, maybe picks go back in return. You have the cap space to do it. I look at the Commanders like the Houston Texans last year. The Texans unexpectedly were good, won the division. And then that last offseason, let's go out and get Danielle Hunter. Let's trade for Joe Mixon. Let's trade for Stephon Diggs. So they made a push to try to take a step forward. They didn't. But getting to the NFC Championship game, nobody contemplated that. That seems like a place where maybe the Commanders take a hard look at Myles Garrett, because he'd be a tremendous upgrade over Dante Fowler. No offense to him at 10 sacks, but he's not a defensive player of the year caliber player. Now, here's the tricky thing. Myles Garrett is 29, turned 29 in December. He isn't showing any signs of slowing down. He's got 2 years left on his contract. You'll have to extend it, most likely at the top of the market. At some point, there will be diminishing returns unless he's that guy who defies the odds and can play at a consistently high level into his mid-30s. So that would be another consideration as well.
So, Joel, if you're Adam Peters and you have all this cap space, and we're talking about a potential trade for Myles Garrett, what would your strategy be? Because you've got a quarterback in Jaden Daniels who's on that rookie deal. You've got all this money. You kind of got to go for it, right?
Yeah, just like the Texans. Yeah, I think your window is now. Because you do, but you have a ton of free agents this year. You signed a bunch of guys to 1 year deals. You got to figure out which one of those guys you want back. Two guys I would want back in particular, out of the older guys, Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz. Your window is now. You probably need another receiver. People have been speculating that Deebo Samuel's on the trading block could be a Commander just because of the connection of Adam Peters coming from San Francisco. He's a buyer beware proposition to me because he got paid off of a great season in 2021 and hasn't been the same player since.
Mm-hmm. What about the quarterbacks? Where do you see the quarterbacks ending up? The Kirk Cousins, the Aaron Rodgers, the Sam Darnolds. Doesn't seem to be a great year for drafting quarterbacks, so there's probably going to be a pretty good market for those guys.
Yeah, that helps the veteran market. Darnold is the most intriguing one to me because he was humming along until the last two games of the season for him when they lost the chance to be the number one seed in the NFC, and then his playoff performance against the Rams, people like, oh, that's the Sam Darnold we remember from the Jets and the Panthers. But he was a Pro Bowl quarterback this year. I think that deal ends up at least $40 million. I don't know if he's back with the Vikings just because the franchise tag number is going to be close to $40 million, and you did draft J.J. McCarthy for a reason. Maybe the Raiders, but if it's not the great quarterback year at number six, maybe a guy falls to them. Rodgers doesn't seem like he's going to be back with the Jets. He got better as the year went on. He may retire. Matthew Stafford, that's another one out there. If they can't work something out with him in his contract with the Rams, then where does he end up? So Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, which one is in Pittsburgh? I'd go Fields just because he's younger. There could be a chance Wilson doesn't have a starting job anywhere when the musical chairs all shakes out.
Joined by Joel Corey, former sports agent, writer for CBSSports.com. So I'm sure Kellen Moore is happy he got the Saints job. You always want to grab that head coaching job when it's offered to you, but they're in salary cap hell. They're $54 million over the cap. They've got an aging roster. They've got Alvin Kamara, who I think is close to 30. Like, he had to take the job, but I'm sure he knew about their salary cap issues, but that's got to be tough for him going in year one, being $50-plus million over the cap.
In a weird way, he was done a favor when Mike McCarthy fired him because he did go to the Chargers for a year. That didn't work out. Goes to Philly, now sets himself up and is a head coach, and McCarthy's not. But the Saints have perpetual cap problems. That's something that happens every year. They treat it like they're a Super Bowl contender when they really haven't been in quite some time. Now, you're right, it is an aging roster. They're going to do what they always do, which is kick the can down the road, push today's cap obligations to tomorrow, and then worry about next year. Now, the one thing that they really need to figure out, and Moore needs to decide, is do I really want Derek Carr as my quarterback? He's got a cap number of almost $51.5 million. If you released him, the best way to do it would be if they post June 1 designation, so you'd be carrying him on the roster till June 2nd, and then you'd pick up $30 million of cap space. But I fully expect the Saints to double down on him. They're going to restructure that contract to the maximum extent possible and create cap room, create almost $31 million in cap room. That's what I expect them to do.
The Bengals have $46 million in cap space. Do they get a deal where they keep T. Higgins there with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, or does he ultimately hit the market? Does he sign with a different team?
Well, Joe Burrow's putting a whole lot of public pressure on them to get something done and keep the core together. He wants them to restructure his contract, which they may or may not do. That's within their sole control because these contracts have automatic conversion rights. So he doesn't have any control over whether that happens. Higgins, if he hits the open market and is looking to cash in, he's probably going to sign for over $30 million per year somewhere because he's clearly the best receiver out there. They could stick a second franchise tag on him for a little over $26 million, which would probably at least placate Burrow in the short run. The interesting thing is T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase have the same agent. T. Higgins fired his agent in the latter part of the season and hired Rocky Arsenault. I don't know whether that helps or hurts. Then there's Chase that they tried to get the deal done with last year. Didn't. And then he goes out and wins the receiving triple crown, which means whatever you wanted to sign him for in 2024 is obsolete, and he's going to want more money than that. The highest paid non-quarterback is Justin Jefferson at $35 million per year. if a deal gets done, it's going to be for significantly more than that. The bigger issue is the Bengals don't really guarantee money after the first contract year. They've done it one time. That's for Burrow. He's the exception. I presume Chase would have to be the second guy. We'd have to give him market guarantees to get a deal done.
Joel, thanks as always for the time. We're always smarter after you join us, man. We appreciate it.
Sure, anytime. Thanks for having me.
That's Joel Corey, former sports agent and writer for CBS. Don't forget, John Fanta will join us coming up in just about 45 minutes. We'll talk college hoops with him. When we come back, we'll debut a brand new segment. We'll tell you what's ricking us. We'll do that next here on The Fan.